It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Michael Eisen.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. We have not had a chance to talk to the great Michael Eisen since the NFL draft concluded. Love to get your take on the picks, besides the fact that he's psyched that the Giants have two members of the Syracuse Orange on the New York Football Giants. Mike, take an overview of the draft first. What was your take on the Giants' approach and the type of players they came out with?
Well, I like the approach. Once again, it was the Giants talk so much about taking the best player available. But I really do think, they have an eye toward need and
yep.
what is going to happen down the road. obviously... I have the privilege of being in the draft room when the selections are made and listening to the debate, and I know that everyone was very excited about the 7 draft choices. I was, of course, excited about the 2 Syracuse players. But as with any draft, you can't really judge it for 3 to 4 years. I know that these players are all very promising. The people who make the football decisions are all very excited about them, and that's really all you can go by right now.
All right, well, let's start round by round here. Let's start with the Giants' first-round pick, Justin Pugh, out of Syracuse. Obviously an offensive lineman that most people going into the draft had a late first-round, early second-round grade on. But he's versatile. He can play guard. He can play tackle. Jerry Reese thinks, and Mark Ross thinks, that he might even be able to play center down the road. Your take on the short-term and long-term impact Justin Pugh could have on the Giants?
Well, Tom Coughlin was asked if he thought that Pugh will eventually wind up at right tackle, and he said yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that short-term, I think that's where they're going to put him in the rookie minicamp. Would not be surprised if he challenges David Deal for the starting right tackle job.
And James Brewer, he's in the mix there,
right.
too.
My sense is that he will wind up somewhere on the right side of the line. If not this year, then certainly next year. David Deal's entering his 11th season. Chris Knee's entering his 10th season. Obviously, they're nearing the end of their careers. If I had to guess, I would say he is the long-term answer at right tackle, especially with Will Beatty having been re-signed, and he'll be the left tackle.
And we'll get to your calls in just a sec. Mike, I want to get your take first on something that, fans and media people have brought up a lot. The media was almost half joking about it, but fans have almost taken it to heart. I've taken a lot of calls on it. He only has 32-inch arms.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why that is such a huge deal. And then, even Jerry admitted, Jerry Reese said, we're concerned. I don't think he used the word concerned.
We were aware of it.
The 32-inch arms, and he was asked, well, what would you consider the good arm length for an offensive tackle? He said 33 inches. So it doesn't seem to me a big difference. He's very strong in the upper body.
Mike, it is a game of inches.
Yes, he's athletic. He's smart. I really don't think a 32-inch arm length is going to negatively impact his ability to excel in the NFL.
Cole yesterday had a great idea for a nickname and a T-shirt. He could be called Purex. And you could have a T-shirt with the Tyrannosaurus Rex with a big pew head on it with the short arms so he can't reach anything. I thought it was pretty good.
Very good, yeah. And it seems like I met him the other day. Seems like a great kid. Everyone, the people that I know in Syracuse like him very much. There's really nothing not to like about this kid.
And they'll be arriving next Thursday for the first time in the rookie class and join the off-season programs with the OTAs and all that good stuff. 201-939-4513. We'll cover the rest of the draft as well. But first, let's go to Kevin down in South Florida. Kevin, thank you for holding. What's going on, pal?
No problem, man. How you doing?
Doing well,
good,
Kevin.
Kevin.
All right. It's a pleasure to talk to you guys, man. It's an honor to be on.
Thank you for calling, my friend.
Not a problem. I just wanted to ask, I mean, I've seen in the draft we went really, you know, saying conservative. I don't see us really tackling the positions that we really need to improve on, which would be linebackers and cornerbacks. I mean, we look really weak in that area. I don't know what we plan on doing about that.
Well, I mean, I disagree what you say about cornerbacks. I mean, we got Corey Webster, Prince Amukamara, Jerron Hosley,
Aaron Ross,
and Terrell Thomas. I mean, those are five pretty good cornerbacks. Linebacker.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, and linebacker, you know, it's just really the way the draft falls. There was never really a linebacker available that was graded high enough to be selected when it was the Giants' turn to select. And you got to remember, one thing people kind of look at the draft and say, oh, we didn't get this in the draft. We're in trouble now. We still have 3 months to go until training camp opens. Teams are going to cut players. You got free agents are going to be signed. There's still plenty of ways to improve your team. The draft is not the end of the player acquisition in the offseason.
Right. You're very right. Me personally, I think in cornerback situation, I mean, Aaron Ross, he's very shaky, you know, and Jerron Hosley also is very shaky. I just figured we could have maybe done something to improve our secondary. I mean, we lost Kenny Phillips, which is, you know, tough to bear because even though we have Stevie Brown, I just feel like our secondary could use a little more help, and there was some talent in the draft that we could have used.
Yeah, Kevin, the problem is, though, if you don't go there in the first round or the second round, you're probably not going to get somebody that's going to help you right away anyway, unless you happen to get a really good value in round number three.
True. That is very well. I mean, as you said in the free agency, I mean, there are some linebackers that even, you know, take a shot and get a veteran like Urlacher or Darryl Smith from Jacksonville. I mean, there's a lot of talent out there also. You guys are very well.
All right. Appreciate the call, Kev.
All right.
Thanks, man. Take it easy. Mike, I do want to ask you, you're in the draft room, and obviously you can't give any names or anything like that, but when they got to any of these selections in rounds 1-6, 1-7, were any linebackers in, like, the final discussion of who to pick, or was it just a deal where the value didn't really line up where the Giants were going
in those
drafts?
No, the value never really lined up. You know, it was just really not a great year for linebackers, I think, first of all. And there was never, to my knowledge, and I can't give away too much, I don't remember a discussion in which a linebacker was prominently mentioned.
Though I get the feeling that if Tail would have kept dropping in round number two, I think that might have been a consideration when the Giants got up.
Possibly.
Only because, you know, it's a guy that had a first-round grade by a lot of people. And I'm not in the draft room. I'm just taking a guess here. I don't know for sure. But the Giants, as you said, they picked best player available. But they did have an eye on need here. And just looking at the numbers, you want to have, you know, 10, 11, 12 linebackers in camp. And I think right now they have, depending on what they do with the undrafted free agents, no announcements haven't made on those guys quite yet. I think they have, what, 8 linebackers on the roster right now?
Yeah, there'll be more linebackers acquired. Some players will be let go. Some will be brought in. You know, again, the Giants are far from finished acquiring players.
And in terms of need, I know a lot of people thought linebacker and cornerback, and that's been the main complaint I've gotten here. But going into the draft, and we talked about it, Mike, we thought what really needed help on this Giants team from last season was up front. They couldn't stop the run, and because of that, they didn't rush the passer a whole lot. And in the second and third round, you got two guys that if the draft happened 3 rounds ago with first-round grades on them from a lot of teams. Yep. And you got a guy that can stop the run and a guy that can rush the passer. To me, that's a huge win.
Absolutely. You know, the run-stuffing defensive tackles are among the most overlooked players in the NFL.
Underrated.
They're invaluable. Jonathan Hankins is one of those guys. You know, he did, I think some teams did have him rated as a first-round player. He fell to the Giants. And, you know, you look at the Giants' defensive tackles. You know, let's face it, Marvin Austin has not really done anything since he's been here.
Can't depend on him.
Sean Rogers is, in his 12th, 13th year. Linval Joseph has been an outstanding player, but I believe his contract is up after next season.
Correct.
You kind of got to look down the road. Well, what happens if Linval Joseph's here? We got to have another guy here. So
and who knows what Rodgers and Patterson can give you after really not playing football for a full year.
Yeah, right. And Colin Jenkins, I mean, he's, I think, 10-year veteran. So, you know, to me, defensive tackle was a far greater need than cornerback. Especially,
I agree.
You know, not only this year, but, you know, the Giants still have the cornerbacks, except for Corey, are still pretty young. So I think the second-round pick was a terrific pick.
201-939-4513. Shakes down in Baltimore. Shakes, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
What's
hey,
up,
Shakes.
Dude?
Man, I'm all right. I'm doing better now that I just analyze the draft more and just look at it, because I'm looking at it in the first three rounds. Y'all know I like the picks, but I just wanted the linebacker. And the first three rounds, I think we got first-round talent. I think is a, what y'all said, what, late first round, early second. Hankins was a first rounder, maybe a late first rounder. And, of course, the monster was up there maybe as much as top 15. So, yeah, we did a good job in the draft. I just think that we should have drafted a linebacker. Urlacher and Dansby is available. Maybe we look at them. I kind of like Urlacher, but I don't know if he fits our scheme. And, and I wanted to apologize for two things.
What's that, Shakes?
The last time I was on, I had cursed, and I ain't like that.
That's
so
all right.
I wanted to apologize for
that's
that.
Right. Schmell curses and, all the time.
Okay. And the last thing I wanted to apologize for was to one of my favorite Giants of all time, because I was saying through the whole draft that, oh, we ain't drafted a linebacker since LT. We ain't drafted an impact linebacker since LT. And I'm wrong. I was wrong.
It's called Banks.
I want to apologize to Jesse Armstead. We drafted him, and he was a beast. I forgot all about him.
20 years ago.
Stop. I really apologize to Jesse Armstead. He was a monster.
Well, Shakes, we will go upstairs and we will extend those apologies to Jesse Armstead. And now he doesn't have to drive out to your house in Maryland later on today and give you a whooping.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Appreciate it, man. And he mentioned DeMontre Moore. And, Mike, what was the conversation there? Because, you know, Jerry Reese did talk about in the post-draft press conference about, you know, some of the concerns with him. He was an early first-round pick. He dropped a lot, some off-the-field stuff, effort stuff during the week, things like that. What was the conversation on DeMontre Moore? And it seems like the Giants think they can fix whatever issues he has.
Yeah, the issues to them are not big. Really, it's, you know, his talent and his grade at that point in the draft, you just can't pass up. He's not a bad kid. He's had a couple issues, and I can't relate what was said in the draft room. But,
right.
You know, what they talked about is, from what I heard, was very fixable. They believe that they can work with the kid. He's a good kid. He's not a bad kid. Really good kid. Tremendous talent. Some, you know, again, could have gone maybe earlier. If the draft had been held earlier, could have gone in the first round. As the Giants have long said, you can't have too many pass rushers. Here's a guy, 20 years old. He's 20 years old. He's going to get better. He's going to develop. A terrific pass rusher. At that point in the draft, it was a no-brainer.
And he played at 250. He's already up to 260, apparently. And Jerry Reese thinks he might even be able to grow to 265, 270 by the time the season's all said and done. So he's a kid that's still growing into his body.
Yeah. And, John, I just want to say these callers, and, you know, I understand what they're saying, and I have all the respect in the world for them, but the callers who say, well, you didn't get a linebacker. Well, you know, if we had drafted a linebacker, they'd maybe be saying, well, you didn't get an offensive lineman, or you didn't get
a defensive end. Right.
You know, I wish the fans would look at what the Giants did do and who they did acquire and be happy about that. And, again, emphasize the fact that, you know, today is May 1st, I think, and training camp roughly opens on August 1st, a few days earlier. You have 3 months to get players that you at positions where you think you need help.
And this is how I look at it too, Mike. There's a good chance that you're going to have first down against the Dallas Cowboys on September 8th. Cowboys with the ball. You could have two rookie starters on the field for the Giants. I think there's a chance Hankins, even though he might not get starter snaps, he might start the game in run situations to stop the run. And I think, as Coach Coughlin said, there's a decent chance that Pugh starts at right tackle. And if you get two starters out of a draft, that's a pretty darn good one.
Absolutely. And then, you know, you've got other contributors. You certainly see Moore contributing on a
third down pass rush basis.
Cooper Taylor is going to be on special teams.
He's a big boy, kid, huh?
He's going to be a special team. He's going to be terrific, I think, on special teams.
And clearly Ryan Nassib will be starting at quarterback.
Well, I think that's a given.
201-939-45. You better make sure you don't get on Eli's bad side, Sam. You know, trying to promote his back.
I've never been on Eli's good side.
Okay.
I don't have to worry about
that.
Well,
there you go. 201-939-4513. Let's go to James down in Texas. James, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
What's
good
up?
Morning.
Well, I was just sitting here thinking about the Giants draft and their consistent success with getting production out of their rookies. And my question to both you guys today is, what do you think the possibility that Moore could end up a linebacker position? And also, what do you think the production could be from Cox this year out of the University of UMass?
Well, I don't think you're going to see Moore move to linebacker. They see him as a hand-in-the-ground defensive end pass rusher. I don't think you're going to see that move. In terms of the running back, Mike, he's a pretty raw kid. He didn't have a whole lot of carries at UMass. That might be a developmental deal.
Yeah, he was at Michigan for 4 years, and I think he only carried the ball about 19 times in all that time at Michigan. And
he's fresh legs.
Yeah, a little curious case where...
I'm sorry, guys. I said Moore. I meant Cooper, Taylor Cooper.
Oh,
Cooper?
I'm sorry.
No, I think Cooper's a safety. They're gonna keep him at safety. You know, the Giants do need a third safety. I guess Will Hill could fill that role, but the Giants do need a third safety. And I don't really see Taylor moving to linebacker. You know, Cox is a bit of a curious case. We originally did not have a bio on him from the service that provides the bios of the draftees. So we went on the UMass website and got one, and they had him listed at 6'3". And now he's actually 6'0".
Right, and a half, something like
no,
that?
No, Mark Ross wants him listed at 6'0".
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, so he's lost 3 inches already. So, but he's it's kind of tough to gauge what he did because UMass moved up to the bowl subdivision last year, their first year at the highest level of college football, and were just overmatched in every game. And it's like Mark Ross and Jerry said, every time he got the ball, he had two or three guys around him. But he does have some potential, and he was worth taking a flyer on with the second and last pick of the draft.
Yeah, I do agree with that. And I also agreed with the perfect timing in picking up Eli's protege. So I'm looking forward to a great year and some more great competition and parity around the league. And I guess we'll talk to each other soon, guys.
Great. Thank you.
Appreciate the call, James. Thanks a lot. 201-939-4513. Now, my call screener says this is Gert in California. I'm guessing it's either Bert or it's Garth.
It's actually Gert.
Oh, okay. What's going on? How are you?
By the way, two things. One was T-Rex because of T for tackle. That's why I called him T-Rex.
Oh, okay. I can see that.
Yeah, that's why, because I'm the one that said about T-Rex. But that's the reason why I used that T-Rex is the T for tackle.
Well,
him as our tackle.
Honestly, I think it works right with the. I think it works with the T for tackle and with the short arms. I think it goes both ways.
Well, you can
correct.
Do G-Rex.
Yeah. But what I wanted to talk about was, I'm happy with the draft because we addressed it from where it needs to be addressed, from the line. It starts at the line. And what I mean by it is, if there's no protection, Eli doesn't have time. The linebackers don't really matter as long as the line can hold. If they're able to hold, then the linebackers can do something. If the front line can't do anything, then the linebackers really doesn't matter how good they are. They might not even have a chance. But anyway.
That's true.
So I wanted to say that because I'm happy with the draft. And plus, there's no set linebacker for the first rounder. There was no Carl Banks in that line.
No, Gerson, I hear you.
That was it.
All right.
I appreciate the call, my friend. Thank you. And I want to talk a little about Nassib, and the last caller mentioned him. I thought it's curious, and you can take us through the thinking here, Michael. You trade a sixth-round pick, and the Giants always say how much they value late-round picks. Jerry Reese said that in his press conference the week before. So you trade your sixth-round pick to move up, what, around 10 spots in the fourth round, I think it was?
Six
spots in the first round, excuse me. And you draft Ryan Nassib, who a lot of teams and the Giants apparently also had a second-round grade on. And he's going to be Eli's protege, for lack of a better word. But you would assume Eli's going to be the starting quarterback here for another 6, 7, maybe even 8 years. Who knows how long. You know, quarterbacks play till they're 40 now, and they can be pretty effective when they're 40. Just look at Peyton Manning coming off of back surgery. The guy was still one of the best quarterbacks in the league last year. So how do you see this proceeding with Nassib? Is this going to be a deal where if he plays well enough, the Giants might look to use him as an asset and trade him? Or do they really try to want to groom him here as a long-term backup to Eli?
Well, I would say both right now, frankly. You know, the reason you make the trade is the guy is sitting on your draft board. He's got the best grade available. He's a quarterback.
And probably by far the best grade available left, right?
And you want to, you know, I think any team will always – George Young used to say you're always thinking about who your next quarterback's going to be.
Right.
You always want to have a young quarterback in your system. And this guy had a lot of attributes that the Giants like. Eli is expected to be here for a lot of years. But at some point, you know, maybe not this year, Nassib can be your backup. You have a young backup you're developing. At some point preseason, he showcases skills. If Eli's still here, maybe you flip Nassib to another team for a second-round draft choice. Look what the Packers did with Matt Flynn.
Matt Schaub.
Matt Cassell from the Patriots. Although they didn't get a real good draft pick from Kansas City. But, you know, it happens a lot. If you have a good quarterback and he's sitting there on your draft board, and the Giants haven't had a successful young quarterback come in here since Eli Manning.
Yeah, they tried with Andre Woodson. That didn't work out too well.
And Rhett Bomar.
Rhett Bomar, that's right. I forgot about him.
So you take him. So he can be an asset as a backup, as a guy. If, knock on wood, we hope nothing ever happens to Eli, but should something happen to Eli, he can play, or he can bring you back something in a trade in the future.
201-939-4513. Tom in Virginia wants to talk about Ryan Nassib. Tom, what's up?
Yeah, well, thank you. You just answered my question. I was questioning why in the world would you move up to take a quarterback when, in my opinion, very humble opinion, Eli's going to be around for 5 years, and backup quarterbacks, is somebody going to sit 5 years behind a starter?
No.
Now, you know, and I happen to like the backup we have now. I mean, there's a guy who was a first-round draft pick.
First pick in the
draft. Every time he's gone in there. Huh?
First pick in the draft.
That's right. And he, every time he's gone in there, whether it's been in preseason or whether it's been in wrap-ups, he's always done a very, very commendable job. And you know, so, I mean, maybe he's going to get a little old, but and maybe the guy could move into the second spot. But I just, you know, it was just strange to me to move up.
Well, no, Tom, I agree. And to me, at face value, it was a bit of a strange move too. But here's how I kind of look at it now that I've thought about it for a couple days. If you're looking at your board in the fourth round and you see a bunch of guys with a fourth round or even a fifth round grade on, then you know that at best this guy down the road is going to be a special teams player. Would you rather lose a sixth round pick, move up a few spots, and get a guy that can be a potential trade chip for you later on? You can get a second or a third rounder for him, maybe. Or, you know, if he turns out to be a top quality backup quarterback to Eli Manning, that's fine too. To me, there's a bit of a risk because, look, you potentially, as Jerry Reese said, you're drafting a guy that if everything goes the way you want, he's never going to play for you. So there's a risk there, obviously. But I think you do have a potential benefit. If he turns out to be very good, show something in preseason, maybe gets in there in one or two regular season games. If Eli Manning finally misses a game here or there, then all of a sudden you have a Flynn situation like the Packers had where you can move him for a second or a third round pick.
Yeah, but his, you know, I would, at that point, if I was going to move up, if there was a slot on the board, I would much rather move up because the way things seem, It seems like Cruz is history. And
no.
I'd rather see us. What do you mean, no?
I don't think Cruz is history. Cruz is under the Giants' control. He is unable.
Cruz is either going to play here this year or he's not playing.
By NFL rules, Tom, Victor Cruz cannot play for any other NFL team this year besides the New York Giants.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. Okay? But it's not this year. It's next year. You know, I mean, if he's gone, you know, and I agree that 11 mil is a lot for a slot, okay? But I think he's more than just a slot. He's great downfield. He can take it. He takes it across the middle. He can go deep. You know, you look at,
okay, but
look at a guy like Welker. What?
Well, what I was going to say was, is your argument we should have picked a receiver instead of Ryan Nassib?
Because then you're going against your whole draft
philosophy. You're reaching to take a player at a position who's not graded nearly as highly as the guy that you acquired.
Okay, that's fine. All I was saying was, if there in that round, if there was a slot available, I could see trading up for a slot. That's all I'm saying.
Well, if
there
again,
wasn't, then you know, I don't know what all of the grades were on all the receivers. I don't know any of that stuff. All I was asking was, in my mind, given what the potential is for the problem we have with Cruz, if there was a decent slot available, I could see trading up for him.
All right, Tom. Appreciate the call, my friend.
Yeah, have a nice day.
You too, my friend. And look, frankly, I just don't think the Giants thought there was another talent at the same level of Nassib in the fourth round. That's why they did what they did.
What did they keep saying after they made the trade and the pick? Value. The value was just too good to ignore. I mean, Nassib was standing out there like he had orange neon in his name on the draft board.
Mike, one of our tweeters wants to know, wants me to ask you the difference between Alex Okafor and Demontre Moore, and if Okafor was ever somebody that the Giants had talked about at all in that draft room.
Well, I can't really say who the Giants did or did not talk about. All I can tell you is they really liked Demontre Moore. They liked the fact, they liked his ability, and they liked the fact that he's 20 years old, and they think that his growth potential is enormous, and they think that he is going to develop into a really good player.
All right, this is the final call Michael's going to take, then I'll take the rest of the calls on my own. We'll go to Dave in Rochester. Dave, what's going on, pal? How are you?
Good, fellas. How you doing, Mike? How you doing?
Thanks
for taking my call. Hey, I just wanted to, I'm glad I got to talk to Mike. I wanted to make a little prediction, and I hope it doesn't happen, but concerning Michael Cox, whatever website you look at, he's from 6'6" up to 6'4", and I'm really afraid that he, you know, because we got our Jacobs hangover, he might be the new Ramses Barden.
Oh, gosh, don't say that, please.
I mean, I don't want it to happen because I hope the guy works out, but there's that possibility. I mean, big dude, we still got our Jacobs thing going on in our head.
Well, he's not as big a dude as we think because we're the Giants are officially listing him as 6 feet even.
Okay.
So that's the end of that's the end of the 6'4" stuff.
Well, you can't teach that.
Yeah.
But I did want to run past you. I mean, what's going to be the determining factor for David Deal? You're a better evaluator than us, but I like him. He's one of my favorite players. But what's going to be his demise, kind of like we saw with Sean O'Hara 1 year? I know that last year he was pretty hurt. But what's going to turn the corner for Pugh to get in there? What does David Deal need to show everybody? Is it technique? Is it versatility?
Well, I just think, no, you know, David just has to play at a high level. It's just two guys competing for a job. Whoever, you know, Tom will tell you, whoever plays better is going to win the job. Now, David does have kind of an advantage, and I guess Pugh sort of has the same thing. He's supposed to be versatile, too. If David doesn't work out as a right tackle, if David does not win the starting right tackle job, you know, he can back up at any position. He could slip in any position. He could be that extra tight end. So I think David Deal will still be here. But I don't know. I think it's going to be a spirited competition for the starting right tackle job between the 11-year veteran and the rookie. I really do. And I'm discounting James Brewer, but I don't think they brought Pugh in here to first-round draft choice to sit.
And, of course, David Deal's a lot of pride. He's not going to want to give that job easily.
I talked to David Deal Monday, and he's looking forward to the competition as he always does. But, yeah, I mean, David, this is a big year for David. I mean, it's his 11th year. This may be his last hurrah. So he's not going to go down without a fight.
Gotcha.
Thanks,
Dave.
All
right, guys. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. And, Michael, before I say goodbye to you and I'll take the rest of our callers, you had a chance to talk to Eli Manning about Ryan Nassib. You can see that article on Giants.com. How was your chat with Eli? And what did he have to say about the young quarterback?
Friendly as always. he said he does not. He really doesn't know much about Ryan Nassib, but he did reach out to Nassib and call him, just as he did with Justin Pugh, welcome him to the team and told Nassib if there's anything you need to let Eli know. And, I asked Eli really what was about the adjustment for a quarterback coming from college football to the NFL. And I said, well, is it learning, a new offense? And Eli kind of said, look, you're going to learn the offense. It's not that. It's when you learn it, making the right decisions on the field and making plays. And, you know, you can't really do that, know that until you get in the game. But he seems to be pretty eager, I should say, to work with the young quarterback. And, you know, it creates a whole – The really the most interesting thing to me about the Ryan Nassib pick is, are we now going to become a three-quarterback team?
Right, and I was actually asking that too, and I think you have to carry three quarterbacks at least for this year.
Yeah, we've been a two-quarterback team since 2008 with a veteran backup. Well, you know, because they like to keep the roster spot or get the give the roster spot to a special team or to somebody else. Well, obviously, if you keep three quarterbacks, you lose the roster spot. Well, if you keep two quarterbacks, what are you going to do? You're going to keep David Carr. You let Ryan Nassib go. Someone's going to claim him in a second. He's certainly not going to be around for the practice squad.
In a moment.
If you cut David Carr, then you have a guy backing up Eli who's never taken a snap in an NFL game. So I agree with you, John. I think you have to keep three quarterbacks this year, which the Giants have not done since 2007. And when I asked Eli about that, he said, it's not something I'm losing sleep over. So whatever the coaches decide is, you know, Eli doesn't plan on missing any time anyway. So really, who's backing up, who's behind him, he's not too worried about.
Michael, as always, we appreciate the time this morning.
All right,
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
That's Michael Eisen. I'll continue to take your calls for the rest of the show at 201-939-4513. Let's go to Steve down in Washington, D.C. Steve-O, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's happening, guys? Thanks for taking the call.
No problem.
Listen, I know it's been about a week, which is long for me, but I wanted to kind of digest the whole draft thing and try to come up with something smart to say. Really, and all I'll say is, you know, what I've always said is I do believe in Jerry B, so I am happy with the draft overall. Like everybody else, I'm a little bit, you know, I have a little bit of anxiety about not having a linebacker, premier linebacker, but hopefully we'll get something done here. With some of these remaining free agents, I really don't know who's quite left that will really be an asset to us. But, you know, I guess what I'd really like to touch on is, you know, I heard something last night, and I don't remember the exact word, but it was basically alluding to the fact that the Giants may be kind of reconsidering, you know, giving Cruz a little bit more money. And as much as I would want to keep Cruz, I hope we don't break on the pressure and give this kid too much money. You know, I just I don't really see personally anything over $8.5-9 million tops, and that would still make things very, very tight. But I guess what I'd really like to ask is, you know, at this point, you know, what do you really see happening? Do you see this, you know, him playing under the tender, or, you know, obviously that would be, you know, best for us into this year. You know what he's going to have to produce, but, you know, I'm concerned about a long term. I got all my buddies with Dallas fans hoping that he walks. You know, I know he's not going to sit out, but I'm getting worried at this point.
Well, Steve,
you know,
here's
I'm very, very worried.
Well, Steve, here's the deal. Victor Cruz has three choices. I think the one that would be the most foolish for him to choose, but also at the same time the most beneficial for the Giants, as you said, would be to play under that one-year tender. The Giants can see what they have. They can make a decision on him and Nick's at the same time next year. Best case scenario for the Giants, that happens, though I think from Cruz's perspective, that would be the riskiest and the most foolish thing for him to do. That's number one. Number two, he can hold out. Something that I think is dumb for him. It hurts the team. It hurts his perception with the fans that love him so much. So I think that'll be really dumb for him to do too. So number three, you get down to sign that long-term extension. And I really believe the Giants will get to $8 million if Cruz says, look, I'll sign a four-year, $32 million deal. Let's get it done. The money that's guaranteed is reasonable. Let's sign it tomorrow. I believe that's the middle ground. They're in and around there where Cruz and the Giants are going to land. The question is whether or not Victor is willing to accept, because of the fact he's a restricted free agent. Again, if he was unrestricted, we'd be having a completely different conversation. Since he's a restricted free agent, is it in my best interest to sign an $8 million a year contract, which quite frankly is probably a little bit below what open market value would be for him if he was a free agent like Greg Jennings this year, or who got 10 a year, or Mike Wallace, something like that. Is it worth it for me to sign that deal now? In my opinion, if I'm Victor Cruz and I look at this objectively, I think it is worth signing that contract now, because you can sign another deal after this four-year contract is up, or a three-year contract if you decide to sign a three-year, $24 million contract, something like that. So I think that's where we're going to end up. It might not happen today. It might not happen tomorrow. It might not happen until veteran minicamp. Heck, it might not even happen until right before training camp. But I still think that will happen, and Victor Cruz will be here this year under a long-term deal. That's my feel for it. Well, do I know anything? No, but that's my feel.
That's what makes sense to me. I just hope that, you know, because all these fans keep saying, oh, sign him, we got to do anything that we don't, really hurts us, and you know, here in the immediately short term. But I appreciate the answer. But let me just ask you, where can we go for linebacker? Where can we go?
There are some veterans out there you can look at. And Steve, thanks for the call. We appreciate it always, my friend. You can, you know, Carlos Dansby is out there still. I'm not touching Urlacher with a 10-foot pole. I don't think he has anything left. Daryl Smith's a Sam that's out there. That could be a guy you look at, I guess. I mean, I'll take a look at the list over the next couple of days, and I'll get some more names for you. But you can find some veterans. You know, a Keith Bullock-like signing. That's how I'll describe it. Just like they signed him a couple of years ago. Did he contribute a whole lot? No. But was he solid, and did you know what you were getting out of him? Sure. And I think that's the type of signing you'll see. So the Giants get a little more veteran depth at that linebacker position. 201-939-4513. Ryan's up in Vermont. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, pal? What's up?
I'm good. I was watching the draft the other night, yep. And, you know, I mean, there's been a whole lot of talk about the Giants and they need some linebackers and the corners. And, you know, I was watching the draft and I was hoping they would trade up, you know, and try to grab Jarvis Jones, but then the Saints got him. And then they passed up on Teo. I mean, there's the whole aspect around the whole off-field issues. But it's not about that. I mean, he's still a great football player and all.
Is he?
And, I mean, I don't understand why they didn't draft a linebacker.
Well, frankly, I don't know if you know Teo's a great football player. I mean, he had a bad 40 time. He's a guy that can't shed blockers.
He did have a bad 40 time, but he's a great sideline-to-sideline player, and, you know.
Well, the question is, though, in the NFL, does he have the speed to be a sideline-to-sideline player? He could do it in college, but in college he struggled against some of the best competition. Is he athletic enough to be a game-changing, playmaking linebacker in the NFL? He might be. I don't know the answer to that question, but I think it's a legitimate question that we don't know the answer to.
Right. I mean, like, I love everything the Giants did with the draft with Justin Pugh and Jonathan Harkins and everything like that. But what I was kind of scratching my head a little bit was when they moved up to draft Nassib. I mean, Eli Manning, he's an elite quarterback. There's no question about it. He's one of the top players in the league. Yeah, he has some issues with his decision-making sometimes. But, I mean, he's a great quarterback. He doesn't get hurt, you know, and we have David Carr, who's also a solid second string. I was just wondering where they want to go with Nassib.
Well, I think the bottom line is in that fourth round, they had nobody else on their board that they liked. And when you look at your board and you say, look, we don't think anybody's left that can become a starter or impact player for you, and you see one guy, even if it's a quarterback, that has a second-round grade left that's better than everybody else, and all of a sudden you're like, well, we're going to get somebody that's going to plug in, be a career special teamer, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen. Or we can trade up, draft a backup quarterback for the future, someone that, you know, maybe down the road you can develop and trade for a second or third rounder like the Packers did with Flynn, the Falcons did with Chubb, go all the way down the list. And
Yeah. You
see, you say, look, we could have a real valuable asset here, and if we didn't take him, we wouldn't get somebody that we would consider to have even close to having the same value.
Yeah, I get that too. And I mean, like, I was watching the draft, and, you know, they were talking about the whole defense. I mean, our offense is good. Cruz is playing this year, which is great. I hope they get him signed again. We really would love to have him back. But, I mean, they're talking about their corners, and I was kind of scratching my head about drafting a corner because, I mean, Amukamara played great football last year. Webster, too. We're getting Thomas back. I mean, I don't really see a need there for some corners.
Yeah, I think the need at cornerbacks are a little overrated. Look, Corey Webster had a bad year last year. We all know that. I think he'll bounce back and be better. Is he going to be the player he was back in 2008? Probably not. But I think he'll be good enough. Aaron Ross is a good veteran backup. But I think where the Giants want to see a lot of growth there is from Prince. Maybe you can start putting him on some of the other team's best wide receivers, see if he can work that as the true number one cornerback. Because really, he was number two last year. Webster still guarded the other team's best player. And then you have Jaron Hosley, who I think the Giants hope will develop into a very good slot corner where they can use it there. But Ryan, I agree. I believe that need at cornerback was a little bit overrated. I thought it was much more important to re-strengthen that defensive line. Thanks for the call, pal.
Thanks.
Hey, have a good one. 201-939-4513. They did that. Hankins can stop the run, which I said it a billion times on the show, I sound like a broken record, but where the Giants needed to get better on defense was stopping the run. And they drafted a guy in the second round whose sole job in life is to stop the run and take up space. He's wide. He's a big boy. Hank the Tank. Big John. Big Hank. Whatever. I like it. Love that pick. I think it's very important. Again, I bet you First snap against the Cowboys week one. Hankins is starting a tackle next to Linval Joseph. Now, when you get to a passing situation, when it's second and 10, when he stops it on a first down, you'll see Colin Jenkins come into the game, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think that was a great pick by the Giants. 201-939-4513. Tyler's down in Pittsburgh. Tyler, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, pal?
I have a quick question. I'm sure you guys are more than fed up with the linebacker questions by now, but with the lack of depth they have, I was happy with the Pew pick in the first round,
yep.
But why did they pass on Alik Ogletree? He's a fast guy, built like a linebacker, plays like a safety.
Hey, I don't think anybody doubts his athletic ability, Tyler, but there were some legitimate off the field questions, and I'm not sure that's why the Giants passed on him. It could have been. I'm not sure about that. But there were some legitimate off the field questions with him, and there's a reason, you know, if Ogletree was a guy that was spotless off the field, interviewed well, and had all the intangible teams were looking at, he probably would have been a top 15 pick. That's how good of an athlete he was. And in that aspect, you're right. But the Giants thought that, A, offensive line was probably a bigger need, and they thought Pew was a more reliable player that they could count on to start, and they did not think that about Alik Ogletree.
Yeah, because I was just looking at, like, his film and everything and, like, his stats, and he worst comes to worst, he could have played special teams or anything. I mean, he's a perfect Giant outside linebacker, plays fast, hits hard. I was just a little upset about that pick, but I'm good. I'm happy it turned out with Pew, I guess, because they do need some help with that line since they're all hitting their mid-30s and stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think it would have been okay for this year on the offensive line. Would it have been ideal or perfect? No. Would you have been okay? I think you could have gotten away with it. You got away with it last year to a certain extent. But at some point, you have to start rebuilding the offensive line and get a new foundation in there. They have Will Beattie at left tackle now for the next 5 years. That's great. But the rest of the line is all over 30. And you got to start finding some younger guys to replace him. Maybe James Brewer could be one of those guys, but I think there's no doubt that Pew is going to be one of those guys.
Yeah. I mean, hey, and Jerry, we believe, so he knows what he's talking about.
No question, Tyler. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a good one. Down in Pittsburgh. We don't get many Pittsburgh calls. It's Steeler country. If you go up in Pittsburgh, let's be honest, you're a Steeler fan. I'm not sure they let you stay there if you're not. There's a little Giant Steeler, you know, the whole family connection thing. Kids like that. 201-939-4513. Back to our phones. Don's in New Hampshire. Don, good morning.
Morning, John. How are you?
Don, how are you, pal?
I'm doing great. I mean, I just call in about the draft, obviously. And
sure.
I'm going to stay away from the linebacker rhetoric. Because
thank you.
I think the draft was, you know, fairly good overall. I really wish, though, when, you know, Mike and yourself were talking, Michael Eisen I'm talking about, and yourself were talking, that you could say, without the shadow of a doubt, Pew will be starting in place of Deal. That's what I would like to hear, you know what I mean?
Well, look, I think in the Giants' ideal world, Don, he would be. But they don't want to tell a rookie that he's starting as he walks in the door, and you shouldn't. You want to make the rookie earn it, and he should have to earn it. And I have no problem with that.
Yeah. And, I mean, you obviously he's not Orlando Pace. Let's say that, although it would be nice if he was.
Well, few are.
The only other thing I was thinking, you know, I know we traded up for the Ryan Nassib thing, and that's cool because he had a lot of, had a lot of value when they drafted. But you know what I'd love to see? This would have been my ideal thing. I would have loved to get the only playmaker that was on the board in the first round, which was Tavon Austin. That would have been great because he could have helped us. You know, he could have taken a lot of pressure off David Wilson as far as returning kickoffs. We could have had some great speed on the outside. Knowing the Victor Cruz thing, knowing that we really weren't interested in the value of the linebackers, I think that would have been special. And we could have still got Pew probably, and then we could have went from there. I mean, we might have missed out on Hankins. I'm not sure.
Well, here's the problem, though. If you're trading up, and I guess that was the eighth spot that the Rams traded up to ahead of the Jets to draft Tavon Austin, right, if I'm not mistaken. The Giants would have to move to 19-8. They would have given up their 19th pick. They probably would have had to trade their second-round pick as well. So you're looking at losing not only a starting offensive lineman in Pew, a potential starting defensive tackle in Hankins to get a wide receiver when I think the Giants, if you ask them, they probably think they already have three starting caliber wide receivers on the roster. So I'm not sure I know that's not a trade that I would make.
Oh, okay. I just thought I'd throw it out there because you know that he's a game changer. And, and Victor Cruz, who knows what's going to happen in that deal. I hope he plays. I hope he signs a long-term contract. And I hope he doesn't hold out. That's all.
Appreciate the call, Don.
All right. Thanks, John.
Thanks, bud. 201-939-4513. I thought Tavon Austin went perfect for the Jets. And I think the feeling that you get is that they would have taken him if he was there in nine. And look, I think the Jets got two good players. I think D. Milner is a good cornerback. Let's not compare him to Darrell Revis, please. That's just not fair. No one's Darrell Revis. That guy is a ridiculous cover corner. And I think they got a good player in Sheldon Richardson, a three-technique defensive tackle. I think they're both good picks. But, boy, that offense is going to be tough to watch. God be with whatever quarterback starts for that team. With that offensive line, that running game, and those wide receivers, I mean, Stephen Hill, you hit him in the chest, flip a coin if he's catching the thing. They lose Dustin Keller. Who's their tight end? Is Baker still there? I don't even know who their tight end is. I gotta look that up. Hold on. Let's see. But Santonio Holmes, you know how good he's gonna be coming off that foot injury. You know, Stephen Hill, as I mentioned, second-round pick, but he's a project. Still not with the best hands in the world. Their offensive line struggled last year, to say the least. I know Pro Football Focus, who I have a lot of respect for, rated them highly, but ugh, no thanks. Jeff Cumberland, he's still there. And Hayden Smith, boy, that is a rough group of tight ends. Chris Pantaly. Conrad Ruland, Mike Shanahan, not the coach, and Jeff Cumberland. Jeff Cumberland will be the Jets starting tight end opening day. Wow. That is going to be one rough offense. I would not even let Geno Smith set foot on the field until you have some weapons around him. Don't let him get beat up in that first year. That defense better be good because that offense ain't scoring points. And Mark Sanchez is not going to have a chance. And I think he's going to be a week one starter for them. That poor guy is not going to have a chance with these weapons. Maybe they can find a running back somehow. I don't know. You know, Chris Ivory I like. I think that was a good trading a fourth rounder for him. He's been a starting. You know, we played the Saints, what, two or three straight years now in the regular season? And every time I talk to the scouts upstairs, they say, look, the Saints have four starting quality running backs. And Chris Ivory's one of those four. So I think that was a good deal for Ivory. He'll help. And Bilal Powell did a decent job last year in short yardage situations for them. But, boy, they don't have a whole lot of weapons with the Jets. But we got to talk about Tim Tebow for three more days. And big shock, no team claimed him. What I would like for someone, I would like to get somebody from ESPN on camera, one of their executive producers, and just say, guys, let me ask you something. Tim Tebow hasn't taken a real meaningful snap from center in, when we get to opening day, 18 months. Why do you care? He's a bad NFL quarterback. You might as well do a SportsCenter feature on Joe Webb. He's played more meaningful football in the last 6 months than Tim Tebow has. Joe Webb. I mean, geez, enough, guys. He's not even a football player. I mean, he's a football player, but he's not a good one. He's a sideshow, and I feel bad for Tebow. It's not his fault. And I bet if it wasn't for all the nonsense that ESPN and the rest of the media hoist on him and such a sideshow that he is, he would have got picked up by a team. But teams just don't want to deal with the crap that goes along with it. And that's ESPN's fault. It's not Tim Tebow's fault. He hasn't done anything to deserve this. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Kid just wants to play football. Whether it's a quarterback, and if he can't cut it there, which I don't think he can, he'll do it somewhere else. But all this attention, I mean, if you're a team, why would you want to bring in Tim Tebow? ESPN went live from Jets training camp for like 3 days last year because of Tim Tebow. You want that attention? You want that pressure being put on your starting quarterback? I wouldn't. And all because ESPN, who has the college football rights, knows what a big, you know, fan base he has, or at least did have at one point in college. I mean, you really think all these Tim Tebow college fans really care about him 3 years later? No, they care about Johnny Football. They care about the pass rusher out of South Carolina. They're off of him. Everybody is, except for ESPN. Boy, you think I'm going to get a job there one day? Probably not. 201-939-4513. Lord knows they're not listening anyway. Bill in New Jersey. Bill, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing? Love your show.
Sorry for that tangent, Bill. Thanks for holding.
Oh, no problem. Tebow is just always a conversation.
Oh, my God. I wish he wasn't. Bill, what's up? Let's talk some Giants football.
Let's start with the first-round pick in Pew. I think it's a great, great pickup for us. I think that if we think back to last draft, we need to get somebody to block for our number one draft pick last year, David Wilson.
Right.
I think that David Wilson, if he gets a hole, he's gone. And I think that's a huge, huge production for us to accumulate in next year is getting this man more touches and seeing how far he can go. I think for the second round pick in Hankins, I think that's also a great pickup with which what you were saying before. With Colin Jenkins coming in, in second down and stuff like that. But run stopping, I think the man is just a beast. He is huge. The man is just really, really wide, kind of like a Vince Wilfork type of player.
No question.
Very, very good, very nimble feet. I think I wanted to touch on real quick the undrafted free agents. I believe they signed or potentially are going to sign the linebacker Sambino. Is that correct?
There are a couple guys that have been reported the Giants are looking at or have signed, but the Giants have not announced anything official yet. So unfortunately, Bill, I can't really talk about the guys yet until the Giants announce it. It's just one of the kind of the rules we have here over here. You know what I mean?
Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, the Ryan Nassib one, for them to trade up, I think that is a good trade bait. I think that's more of a trade bait than it is down the road, maybe in a year or two. I mean, obviously he's not going to sit there for 5 years for Eli to just kind of, you know, and then go, hey, I'm going to come in 5 years and I'm going to start. That's
right.
Just not realistic.
Nope.
I do think that they might be able to trade it and get their actual third-round or second-round pick for it. And I think that might actually be a huge pickup for us in the draft for whichever year. That could potentially be something that we need at cornerback next year or something like that if that happens.
Well, you know what? First though, Bill, and I really should have said this earlier in the show, and this is everybody that called up about Nassib. Nassib's got to play well first. If he doesn't play well in preseason in year one or year two, no one's going to want to trade for him. I mean, Rhett Bomar was a middle-round pick. I think he was a four, right, Rhett Bomar? And I think Andre Woodson was a six, if I remember right. So, look, if these guys don't play well in preseason or if they get a cameo in the regular season, if there's a blowout or something like that, if these guys don't play well, you ain't getting nothing for him anyway. So Nassib's going to have to take advantage of his opportunity and prove that he is, in fact, a second-round talent and not a guy that went and dropped to the fourth round for good reason.
Right. No, I agree. I think the kid is definitely first-round. I think lower first-round talent. I just think that when I looked at a lot of his tape and some cut-ups, that I realized that it's a lot of footwork. It's a lot of footwork, and he likes to his throwing motion is very it's not actually his throwing motion, but the way he throws it like a bullet, kind of like the way David Carr throws.
Okay, so he kind of slings it.
Yeah, he doesn't have that upwards motion, that kind of lob. It's kind of like a bullet. It kind of goes, and I think that might be the reason why he even dropped in the draft. I mean, that's just my speculation. But,
yeah, I know the one thing people worry about with Nassib, and we've seen this with Carr too, throwing those power throws, like those 20-yard outs down the field, he struggled with that a little bit in college, and that's something David Carr struggles with as well.
Right. Okay. The last question I have is the linebacker Cooper, I believe.
Safety.
He's a big safety.
Yeah.
I mean, 6'2", 210, 220, I
think
believe.
He's 240, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow. I just can't see him being a safety. I could truly see him being in that third safety kind of role in the lower linebacker role, the way they play that with Perry Fuel. But, I mean, if this kid can fly, it could be probably one of the best picks this year.
Well.
It's possible, but I'll put it out there.
Well, he'll have to prove it. And right now, from what I understand, and Michael said this earlier in the show, I was going to as well. I talked to some people around here. Not really much intention of moving him to linebacker at this point. They see him as a safety.
Well, we'll see.
Appreciate the call.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Have a good one. He is 6'4". I was right about that. I'm just trying to get a weight on him here. Let's see. Cooper Taylor. Here we go. Cooper Taylor, 6'4", 228. Excuse me. Not 240, 228. So he's about 230. Still pretty good. And he's had a lot of injuries, too. People don't talk about that. Played through, he broke both of his hands his senior year at Richmond and played through them with padded casts. Yikes. He's walking around with oven mitts on his head, just slapping people. Nearly tore his pectoral muscle while bench pressing during summer workouts last June. Missed the final games of 2011 with a knee injury that he suffered in the preseason and re-aggravated in November. That's from Tom Rack from Newsday. Love Tommy. We should have him on soon. He's one of the funnier guys. And by the way, I wrongfully gave Tom Rock credit for a joke during the Hankins press conference. That was Paul Schwartz. So, Paulie, I'm sorry. I assume that's Tommy. He's the funniest guy in the beat. But that was Paul's line when the first question he asked Jerry Reese about how long Hankins' arms were in reference to Pugh, which I thought was amusing. Anyway, final call of the show. Jason's out in Phoenix, Arizona. You're up early this morning, Jason. What's happening?
I'm doing pretty good. I love the show. How you doing?
Doing well, Jason. Thanks for calling and being a part of it.
All right, right on. So, listen, also, you're doing a great job with all the Cruz questions, all the linebacker questions. I just have a couple things to add to that.
Sure.
Number one, I don't understand why everybody is so concerned about the Victor Cruz contract thing. It's not like he's not a great player. It's not like he's not wanted here. He's a restricted free agent. So why would we pay him whatever he's asking for right off when he actually has no choices? If he holds out, he'll be a restricted free agent again next year.
Correct.
So that's out of the question. So I really think that it's very likely that he's going to sign the contract, a long-term deal, or he'll go into the season with that restricted tender. But the question I have is, can they still sign him to a long-term contract next year if he's playing under the tender?
Sure. Yeah. Once he signs under the tender, you can sign him to a long-term contract, I believe, whenever you want. I don't think you're restricted from doing that. And remember, next year, even if he plays under the tender and he's an unrestricted free agent, the Giants do have that franchise tag. So if they don't want Victor Cruz to leave, Victor Cruz ain't going anywhere. Now with the new rules, you can franchise a player twice. So Victor Cruz is here for the next 3 years if the Giants want him here.
And so that's the way I'm looking at it. I just hope the Giants fans can get that.
Yeah.
Just like with a linebacker. We don't run a 3-4. We don't need 10 linebackers. We barely use the ones we have. We just need a couple good cover linebackers, a guy in the middle like Connor who can come in and play the run on early down. And that's how we play. The main problem with defense, and I think that somebody needs to point this out, is when you talk, when the coaches are talking, they're like, I don't know what happened last year. The players don't know. Somebody needs to hold Justin Tuck accountable. I mean, I know he just plays one position, but dude's the captain of a 31st ranked defense. For 2 years in a row, this defense has been horrible. Now, 2 years in a row, Justin Tuck has not shown up. When you have players like O.C. Umanure begging for contracts, and you got Kenny Phillips playing on his last year with knee issues, that can cause a lot of friction in the locker room. When you see a guy like Justin Tuck, hey, he's just the captain, and he's got a contract, he's happy. Nobody's questioning his starting job, and here I am playing on a hurt knee or, whatever a lot of those players are going through that are on last year's contract. It's kind of, I can kind of see how they could feel slighted by the Giants. When you have a player like Justin Tuck who openly says, well, I think I should work harder this year, and this year I'm going to be better than I was the last couple of years, and I really didn't work that hard in the offseason. What is that? Why is nobody calling Justin Tuck out?
Well, I don't think Justin Tuck said that he didn't work hard in the offseason. I don't think he said that at all.
Well, he said he hasn't worked as hard as he had before, and he's going to go back to the old Justin Tuck. This is the second year in a row he said that.
Well, and I think of it this way. I think that's probably more of a psychological thing within, because if you talk to Justin, and there's no question, his production the last 2 years and his play on the field has not been where it needs to be. I'm not going to blame him as the team captain on defense for the whole defense as well. That's not fair. But has he done the job you need from him at defensive end on that side in terms of pass pressure and production? No, I don't think you've seen it. So, look, it's his final year of his contract. He's been under a very reasonable contract, and the reason the Giants haven't let him go is that his cap number's only been $3 or $4 million over the past couple of years, which is not that big of a cap number. So this will have to be a proven year for Justin Tuck. Come out, show that you can still be a, you know, 8-9 sack guy, you know, stop the run well, stay healthy.
Hold your head down.
And,
I mean,
exactly. And,
now,
and you know,
we're Giants
be
fans,
that,
when we watch the game, there are times when the game isn't going as well, and even I as a fan get down when I look at Justin Tuck, and he's head down to the ground, shaking his head, feeling helpless, talking about how, you know, he's going through so much stuff in his life, it's hard to focus on football. You know, I just think that if he kind of left that stuff at home and came to play, that he could, you know, maybe infect some of his teammates with that same effort, you know, especially when the games are getting tough.
I appreciate the call. Thanks, Jason. Great points.
No problem. Thanks.
Have a good one. I think Jason made a lot of good points. I really do. I think he was right on about the draft, about the linebackers and all that stuff. But I disagree with him in terms of saying I don't think Justin Tuck is trying. I think Justin Tuck goes out there and tries as hard as he can for every game. If you see him after these losses, no one takes these losses harder than Justin Tuck. Sometimes, does his demeanor on the field when things don't go well leave a little to be desired? I could see that. I buy that. As a captain, sure. But I think other guys can pick up the slack there, too. I think I like Ancho Roll, who is a, you know, captain, maybe not an officially or a name, as a guy that's a leader of the defense. He picks up the slack there a little bit, and that's a good thing. So, look, I'm not going to kill Tuck and blame him and the fact that he's a captain for the whole performance of the defense. I don't think that's fair. I think he works his butt off. I think he tries very hard to be as good of a player as he can. That being said, I still think he's a guy that's hurt. I still think that shoulder is simply never going to be the same. I mean, you see him over the course of every game in the season when he hits the wrong way or falls wrong, he gets up, he's moving that shoulder around, moving that shoulder around. I just wonder if that thing's ever going to be 100% again. I don't know the answer to that. Maybe it will be. Maybe this year he turns it around and has a Justin Tuck caliber season production-wise. I think that's more than possible, and I think there's a chance he could do it. But if he doesn't, it's the last year of his contract, and then the Giants will have to make a decision based on what he's done on tape if they want him back and how much Justin Tuck, frankly, wants in terms of money. Those are all going to be factors. And I think that's important. But I do think Justin Tuck's been a little banged up, and I wonder how chronic that shoulder is. And honestly, I think the problem Justin has sometimes, and I love it, as and I understand where he's coming from. I think he's too honest. You know, he gets questions from the media, and he'll legitimately tell you how he feels. And look, if a player that lost all the people in his family that Justin Tuck did a couple years ago, just a tragic, you know, year for him in terms of, you know, losing people in his immediate family. If any player comes out and tells the media that doesn't affect them, they're lying. They're flat out lying. If you lose your mom or your dad or a sibling, hell yeah, that's going to affect you. And can you just push that out and block it out when you play? I mean, I think you can for short stretches. But when you get back to the bench and you think and your mind starts working, does that come to mind? Hell yeah, it does. It's the most important thing that's happening in your life. And I know Giant fans don't want to hear about that. But for those of you out there that have lost a parent, lost a sibling, if that doesn't permeate you 24 hours a day, you're lying to yourself. It does. And the fact that Justin Tuck is honest enough to say that, I'm not going to hold that against him. Because if a player deals with that and it doesn't affect them, they're lying. But once again, I don't think that had anything to do with his performance on the field. I really don't. He's got to play better. He's got to get that shoulder healthy. And I think it's better now than it has been in a while. That's my feel for it in talking to him. And this is a year that Justin Tuck's going to have to show you a little bit. And that's fine. This is a show-me league. He's a free agent. He knows that. And I think he'll come out and have a very solid year. Everybody, great job on the phones this morning on the draft, on Tuck, on Cruz, on everything else. New York Football Giants. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 10. I'm going to try to get a couple draft guys on the next couple of days to kind of break down the Giant players specifically, what they can do from an outside non-Giants perspective. So tune in, 10 a.m., Giants.com tomorrow morning. Check it out. We'll see you then. Have a great one. Beautiful weather. Enjoy it.